Hello again, and welcome to 4Play Radio Sex Therapy. I'm your host, certified sex therapist Lori Watson, author of Wanting Sex Again, and blogger at Psychology Today and WebMD. And I have with me Dr. Adam Matthews, my co-host, who's a couples therapist, psychotherapist, and president of NCAMFT. 4Play is dedicated to helping couples keep it hot. Each episode, we cover an aspect of sex that impacts your sex life and something that you can relate to. So if you find our discussions helpful, please give us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. We would love it if you would tell a friend about us. You can find us also on the web at 4playrst.com. And if you have a comment or a topic that you'd like us to talk about, we'd love to hear from you. Please send them to us at info@4playrst.com. Thanks for listening. Now on to today's topic. Hey, it's 4Play, and we are going to talk about what to do when things go wrong during sex.
Wow.
Like all the things that go wrong during
sex. All the things that go wrong. There's a lot that could go wrong,
yes,
right?
Yes.
All right. And we're just jumping in, Lori, not even saying hi to me.
You don't even want to know about my week. I do want to know about your week.
No, I'm not telling you.
4Play, come on, tell me. So I jumped right to it.
Yeah.
So you had coffee at the local store, right?
Yeah, I did.
Should we plug Sola? We love Sola. Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm going to plug them no matter
Sola.
What.
Sola is
They're like great coffee and great
they
stuff.
They were packed out this morning. Yeah, I know you're going through some kind of weird, like, masochistic, like, diet where you're fasting.
I'm fasting.
I, however, am not. And so they have this toast that has... ricotta cheese and pumpkin butter.
Oh my gosh,
chocolate nibs. Well, yeah, anything's gonna sound to somebody that's fasting.
No, today's an eating day.
Okay, well, go get you some ricotta and pumpkin butter toast at Sola, and it was one of those things that gets everywhere. So it was all over the ricotta cheese was all over my beard. I didn't have a napkin. So I had to go find one, but and they also have mini donuts. They have Pop Rocks mini donuts right now.
Oh,
they
yum.
Coat a mini donut.
No
in
way.
Pop Rocks.
Oh, that must be decadent.
I resisted those for today, but I don't know that I'm going to be able to resist them.
Yeah. Oh, Sola is the bomb.
It is.
Yeah. Really
it's fantastic.
Good.
All right. Okay, those are things that go right in
life. So are you now sleepy after having had your morning snack? And
I have pumpkin butter sitting on my stomach as we talk about things that go wrong in sex. That's probably something that could go wrong in sex as well, is eating way too much.
Oh, absolutely. Let's start there. Indigestion.
Indigestion, yes.
I mean, I just think, you know, the whole American date night, and I've said this before, but... You know, you go out for wine and drinks and supper or dinner, and it's like you eat too much and you come home and the whole idea was a romantic dinner. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, I feel horrible. I don't want to have sex.
You've eaten a bunch of pasta. Pasta's probably one of the worst, right? Or Mexican food. That's not going to go well.
Not good.
Right.
And which would lead us to another thing that might go wrong. Like if you eat Mexican beans, right? Mm-hmm.
I think
one of the things about sex is it's so human. Mm-hmm. There is an animal part to it, right? I mean, when I was growing up, as a young girl, it was all fade to black. Mm-hmm. You know, you saw the romantic thing, you saw it as very sanitary.
Yeah, you're talking about like
in the
pop
movies,
culture. Yeah,
pop culture. Right. You know, it's just like, it's supposed to be sanitary.
Well, and not only that, it always goes right the first time you have it, right?
When you see
couples on TV shows or movies, when they first have sex, everything goes right. And
right.
It's really passionate.
Yeah.
And it's really natural. And nobody's at any kind of awkward angle. And you're not
nobody
trying to figure...
Nobody cleans up first. Nobody cleans up afterwards.
You're not trying, wet spot. That's right. You're not trying to figure everything out. Nobody's bumping their head on
no
anything.
No fumbling.
That's right.
I'm telling you, when my husband and I were first together, we literally could not stay together. I'll leave that to your imagination. But you know what I mean? It was like the first time you're just like,
you're trying to figure out everybody.
You just can't do it.
So possibly one of the things that we're even talking about is just admitting that, yes, things go wrong during sex and that's okay.
Right.
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 And just admitting that those things happen.
Yeah. And so one thing that happens is sex has its own smells. It has its own noises, you know, and people are really anxious about that.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, super anxious.
Why do you think that is? Like, is it because we expect everything to go right? Or
I think that, you know, most people are anxious about passing gas, right?
Mm.
And if you're really relaxed and doing stuff, you know, it's just going to happen, yeah. And you kind of got to get over it.
I think my wife thinks that I probably should be more anxious about passing gas than I am. I'm not near as anxious as she probably wants me to be. So I'll up my anxiety just to probably, I'll meet her in the middle of that. I'll up my anxiety a little bit about that.
I know. I think one time when we were first dating, my husband, like, you know, had an upset stomach or something, and he was just like nearly sick because he didn't want to pass gas, and it was like he was gonna throw up because he was so sick. And now he just says, "I have to, honey, or my gallbladder will explode."
That's a good reason. We're gonna have to replace my gallbladder. I'm sorry, I have to pass gas.
Yeah. Okay. So I mean, right? You gotta accept that sex has its own noises, and that's just human.
Yeah.
And I really think, particularly as women, we are trained to be ladylike, right? Mm. And ladies sit with their legs closed. You know, ladies don't make noises. Mm. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on sort of looking perfumed up and, you know, not having that happen. And it's really hard to relax and be womanly and be in the moment when you're so uptight. So I would say to all the women out there,
let her
relax.
Rip. No, oh, I'm sorry. What would you say? Not let her rip.
Listen, Adam. Yeah, Adam can say it much better than me.
Let it go.
Okay,
let it go.
Well, we are going to giggle through this whole thing.
Well, especially as long as we're talking about gas.
Yeah, that definitely.
But
definitely.
I think, I do think it sometimes gets transferred into whether you're attractive or not,
yes,
right? To the
yes,
other person.
It's like mortifying.
And whether you're going to be rejected for that or
yes.
It's going to ruin some kind of moment, right?
Yes.
But kind of letting go of that, figuratively and literally, might help things. Like, it's okay if that happens. Like,
right.
you can giggle about it and still move on.
Yeah,
right?
Move on and just enjoy that.
Yeah.
And also, women don't make noises, right? I mean, one of the things that happens when you have an orgasm, literally physiologically, your face screws up. I mean, overall, your face screws up and grimaces. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think women don't want their face to screw up. They don't want their, you know, so they can't let go. You know, so I just say, hey, you know, it's getting near Halloween, you know, make that face, go ahead and make that face, let whatever happens to you happen naturally, don't even think about it.
Does that make it more difficult to orgasm in that case? That would seem like it.
If you're trying to, like, keep a straight face, right, you're not letting your body do what it will do.
Or if you're anxious about any of that, like noises, what's going to, like, what your body's naturally doing, like, that would seem like, to me, like it would kind of keep things from happening.
It
naturally.
Keeps things from happening.
Yeah.
It does, absolutely. And I think men, I heard a young man say, you know, the first time he was with a girl or whatever, and her face screwed up, and he thought he was hurting her. She was actually having an orgasm. Mm. You know, but he misread that kind of thing, too. So, I mean, sex is a learning experience, and all of you out there, you know, having sex obviously know these things, but maybe you don't know that it's natural to grimace, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
What are other things that can go wrong?
Okay, well, I think, you know, obviously calling out the name of an ex.
that can go wrong.
In the moment of passion, if you say the wrong name,
yeah.
You know, that could be hurtful. It could be embarrassing. Some people could get really uptight, right? Like, I can't believe you said Betty, you know?
Yeah.
You know, are you still thinking of Betty?
Yeah.
You know, it could ruin the moment.
What do you think is happening there? Is that a Freudian slip? Is that a...
I think it's a Freudian slip.
I think it's just
And maybe you're thinking about that person. You know, maybe it's just like you were with that person for so long and you just got lost in the moment and screwed it up. You know, so I think certainly forgive your partner. That's the big one. Forgive your partner if that happens. It's like,
right.
It doesn't mean that they're wanting to be with somebody else or even thinking about somebody else. It could just be a slip. And, you know, forgive that and move on and just say, okay, they were lost in passion, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we should be responsible for every thought in our head when we're in the moment of passion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just think, you know, your brain goes all kinds of places.
Like
recently, I was in Argentina, you know.
My
brain was just, you know, it was somewhere else.
So
I was seriously, one time I remember thinking I was algae in a creek.
You were algae in a creek.
It was the weirdest experience, Adam, I know. But, I mean, it was literally like I was in this cold creek and I was part of the algae. I don't know.
That's where your brain went.
That's where my brain, and I just say, you know, whatever happens.
Did you fall asleep and start dreaming?
No, it was
there?
A moment of passion.
All right.
You know, I was algae in the creek. I just think you just
I'm not looking
let
at
go.
Algae. It ain't the same anymore.
It was good. Okay. I mean, I just think you need to let your mind go,
yeah,
right?
Just let
and
it go.
So if you're too worried about protecting your partner or something, you just got to let your mind go.
Yeah. But it may, calling out the wrong name, though, is probably a mood killer.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to mean that you kind of have to regroup.
Some repair.
Do some repair, talk about it.
Unless you have a gracious partner and you said, honey, just think whatever you think and just go for it, right?
Okay. Yeah, you know? I guess.
I mean, that would be a gracious response.
Yeah, that would be a gracious response.
And also a secure response, right?
Yeah,
I know you're with me. I know that you love me. And I think securely attached people, and I think overall, right, in this podcast, what I really want is to teach people about how to have more secure attachments and what insecure attachments are like. So the pursuer-distancer are insecure places. And if they can learn to think that way, they can be more organized and learn to, like, heal things. So,
yeah. And what you're really talking about is not taking it personally.
Not taking it personally. Oh, don't take
that
it personally.
Mistake happens.
But also offer, you know, maybe when it's all over, like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, that slipped out. You know, I love you and I'm with you and I want to be with you.
Yeah, that's right. I think you have to respond in that way, that if you make that mistake, to protect your partner and to help them be more secure about that in the future. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So let's come back with leaking, bad breath, cleanliness, no orgasm, and talk about all the other things that can go on.
We'll probably giggle some more, I'm sure.
Okay.
Or laugh. Men don't giggle.
Wanting sex again. How to rediscover desire and heal a sexless marriage by certified sex therapist Lori Watson.
Each chapter is designed to fix one of the problems that cause low libido, from early marriage through the childbearing years, even all the way through menopause. I've also had men read it and tell me that for them it was the most helpful thing they read about resolving sexual problems.
Look for Wanting Sex Again on Amazon.com. You can also talk to Lori Watson for therapy in person or via Skype.
I offer couples counseling and sex therapy, and I think about both aspects of the relationship, emotional intimacy and sexual technique, and that combination together helps marriages be happy.
Improve your sex and improve your relationship with Awakening Center for Couples and Intimacy. Find out more at awakenloveandsex.com. Awaken what's possible.
It is one of my great joys in life to be able to really help individuals and couples find strength in their relationships and really find hope again.
Licensed marriage and family therapist, Dr. Adam Matthews from Matthews Counseling.
I work with a wide variety of issues, including depression and anxiety, marital issues, issues with adolescence. I believe that therapy should be designed around you, that it should be personalized to who you are and to your unique situation.
Therapy is available in office, online, and by phone.
I want therapy to be comfortable for everyone. At our office, you'll find that we sit around a fireplace in deep, comfortable chairs, look at the problem differently, and offer practical solutions for you to take home and utilize outside of the therapy room.
Schedule today and rediscover hope.
You can find me on the web at matthewscounseling.net, Matthews with one T. You can contact us through email or phone and find a lot of resources on our website, matthewscounseling.net.
Hey, Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy, we're back talking about all the things that can go wrong during sex.
Right.
I think one of the worst things is if your partner goes, honey, you have bad breath.
Oh, that's one of the worst things for you?
Yeah, it's like totally embarrassing.
Why?
I don't know. Ever since I was a kid, one time I was babysitting and I remember the child said to me, you have bad breath, lady. And I was like, it was just, I don't know, it was
it's
shame. You know, some sort of shame in that.
Yeah. We used to, and we don't anymore, but in our first marriage, and I think lots of couples do this, in the morning, we would jump out of bed, brush our teeth, and then get back into bed.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because that was a hindrance, right, to anything happening after that in the morning. So
And floss your teeth, right?
Listen,
Dr. Adam, flush your teeth too, probably.
This has been an ongoing conversation since about five podcasts. Lori is trying to convince me that I must floss my
teeth. Well, we had a person write in about flossing their teeth. Is that gross or not? But you know what? I've like become self-conscious. Is it gross? You know, I don't know if I want to floss my teeth in front of my husband anymore. You know, it's like...
You're an advocate.
Don't go to the bathroom in front of your spouse, you know. It's like, don't floss your teeth. Okay, so bad breath, you know.
See, this is such a, to me, this is one of those when we're securely attached, I can say to my spouse, baby, breath smells bad, but go scrub it up before we get it on. Like, that's, like, I feel like that is something that we can, in
do secure. Do you say get it on?
Do I say get it on? Oh, yeah. We got Marvin Gaye playing in the background. You want to help me with that lingo?
Oh my God.
I was with a group of students a couple of weeks ago. And we were talking about the emotional connection with sex and that everybody puts their walls up.
Yeah.
Right. And we were talking about something. Anyway, I ended up referring to it as, I said, anybody can bang nasties. And they laughed really hard at me. That just came out. I don't know why, but you need to update my lingo.
Anybody can bang nasties. What does that mean?
It means that emotionally disconnected people can.
Oh, right.
Can still do it, essentially. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about.
Okay, we'll talk about that some other podcast. That's a good one, though. Bang nasties. We're coming back to banging nasties.
All right.
Okay, so bad breath. You know, leaking. Like all kinds of leaking, you know, women are afraid they're going to leak urine, especially after childbirth, you know, the pelvic floor gets a little looser. So they're anxious about that. Women who are breastfeeding, they're afraid they're going to leak milk, which is like, actually, as you get aroused and get near orgasm, that's your milk lets down. And a lot of nursing moms say, you know, they won't have sex or they got to wear a bra while they have sex because they're so freaked out about this. Sometimes men say they're freaked out about this.
Mm.
Other men say, oh, they love it. It's just like, you know, it's just like so womanly, you know, it's cool. And men after prostate cancer often for maybe a year, up to a year, leak urine as they're sort of gaining back, you know, their ability to retain it. So what do you do when there's different liquids?
Yeah. What do you do, Lori?
And Adam just looks at me like, I don't know what you do.
I have a good answer.
Put down a towel. Urine is sterile. That's the one thing I say. Urine is sterile, so it's like no big deal. And all the female ejaculation, I hate to break it to you, but you know, it's basically urine. Because there's no other holding tank. I hate to break it to you. So all the people who are really excited about seeing that, you are seeing urine, that's okay. You know, that's exciting to you. That's awesome. If you do that, that's fine.
Well, that's just what you're talking about, just understanding that this is going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
This is a possibility.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay. So those things are going to happen. What happens if a child walks in? What do you do?
What do we do?
Put a lock on the door.
Put a lock on the door. Yeah. I think you allow the children to be outside of that space.
Make sure of it. But what would you do if a child
walked in?
You've got to lock the door.
It depends on the age, how old they are.
Sure.
If they're under three or four, I'm probably not going to mention it or going to get up, put on some clothes, and go help them get back to bed. If they're older and they understand, they have any kind of understanding, we're probably going to talk to them about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think this talks about, we've done some podcasts on how to talk to your kids about sex. And I think this is one of the areas where you can really address with them that this is something that happens and this is what new people do. And it's time for you to start learning how to knock on the door when the door's closed before you come in.
Yeah. I mean, something really simple, you know, mommy and daddy are having their private time and you need to learn to knock.
Yeah.
Something kind of a definitive boundary about privacy, I think.
Yeah, but I think a lot of parents try to make stuff up and lie because they're either I don't know if they're ashamed, but they're afraid they're going to scar their kids.
Well,
but...
and they say actually, you know, witnessing what they call the primal scene, which is your parents having sex, is often really frightening because it's misinterpreted, right? They don't know
what's happening.
It looks aggressive. Mm-hmm. You know, it can look really scary. They get something big is happening here.
Yeah.
So some explanation,
Daddy's
not hurting mommy.
That's right. That's right. There's no violence that's happening.
Right.
But there is a sense that we all have generally stories.
Mommy was just praying.
Right. Mommy was just praying.
I'm sorry. I couldn't resist.
Okay. All right. This podcast, oh, I think, God, is pretty off the rails. yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, I think there's a sense of which we all have, most of us have memories of walking in on our parents, right?
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't have, especially if you handle
it. Doesn't
friendly,
have to scar you for life.
It doesn't have to be scarring
right.
for life, especially if you're able to address it with
yeah.
your children.
Yeah. So I think the big ones, when things go wrong, is like ED, premature ejaculation. This is really technical failures. I mean, people just sweat it, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, it's not working. I had too much to drink, or I came too quickly, and that's a big deal. Or I'm not getting there. It's not my night.
Yeah.
You know,
not having an orgasm.
Yeah. Either gender.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's really hard because we ascribe so much meaning when those things happen.
Yeah.
Right? We put a lot of meaning into it sometimes. When sometimes, like you said, it's just something that's technical that's happening that usually can be easily fixed. Right? Would you agree with
right.
that?
Right. Absolutely. All of those things can usually be easily fixed. But I think that in the moment, we're saying that the most important thing in the sex is accomplishment, right? Orgasm. Yeah. And it's like, hey, you know what? The most important thing is that you're together, you're having fun, you're touching each other. You know, take the pressure off.
Yeah.
Just say, well, you know, you were too sexy. Sorry, I couldn't hold back. Or it's not my night, baby. I hope it's your night. And
yeah,
let's go
with you.
What
comes up usually has to come down. It just came down a little early. nothing too bad there. But I do think that you're hitting on what's the important part. The important part is the connection.
Yeah.
Right? The connection that you have. And so a lot of these things, when they go wrong, too often people turn away from each other rather than turning towards each other.
Yeah, sex is human, and it's not 100% all the time.
Yeah.
Turning toward each other. I love that.
Yeah, and that, I think when you're able to do that, when you're able to maintain your connection and actually talk about these things and laugh about them and, like, you know, be able to understand that things go wrong during sex, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is not the perfect, easy, clean depiction.
Sex
on
is messy.
And, yeah.
It smells. It has noises.
Sometimes it's
That's
a little
normal.
Gross.
Yeah, sometimes. Right? Like,
right.
I know, like, people who don't have sex on her period, you know, because they think it's gross. It's like, well, it's actually clean, you know. I mean, I just put down a towel, you know?
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
Especially men who have trouble with that. You know, I think women sometimes, you know, she doesn't feel right, whatever. But, you know, men who have trouble with that, I'm like, you know, dude, you know, ejaculate is messy too every single time. You know, it's like, get over it.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be that way. So in part, we're saying,
Accept
that it's human.
Yeah.
Accept that there's an animal aspect to it. Accept that it's messy and try to lose your inhibitions.
Yeah. I think there's an aspect of this too, that it is when you go through something, when sex goes wrong, it can actually bring you closer together.
If you accept it
and, like, move through it, like, it'll be a time later on that you'll look back and laugh on, and you can laugh in the moment too, but it's something
right.
that's going to actually bring you closer together and allow
right.
you to connect even more.
Right. So, I mean, sex is good. All sex is good, and just to have a sense of humor with it.
Yeah. And let it rip.
Okay. Thanks for listening to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy with Dr. Adam Matthews and sex therapist Lori Watson.
Hey, help us stay on top here at Foreplay. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take one sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.